Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend ProRent discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Only a few more days before President Trump takes office, and already the whole spirit of the country has begun to change. I would describe it as the lawlessness of the Biden administration ending, and a new hope for righteousness and liberty. It's summed up in a statement President Trump put out on social just before Christmas. Quote, as soon as I'm inaugurated, I will direct the Justice Department to vigorously pursue the death penalty to protect American families and children from violent rapists, murderers, and monsters. We will be a nation of law and order again. So last week, Biden responded by commuting the death penalty for every federal prisoner on death row, except for three. Who were these people? Thomas Sanders, who in 2010 kidnapped 12-year-old Lexis Roberts and her mother, and the girl watched as he shot her mother and a few days later cut Lexis's throat and shot her four times. George Torres, who sexually assaulted and stabbed to death two girls, Laura Hobbs, age 8, and Crystal Tobias, age 9, who've been riding their bicycles in their neighborhood. 4 years later, he strangled Naval Officer Amanda Snell, age 20, and people like Lori Michel, who was convicted of murdering five Russians and Georgian immigrants after kidnapping them for ransom, and in some cases was paid and killed them anyway. Or Kaboni Savage, a Philadelphia drug dealer who was convicted of committing and ordering the deaths of 12 people, including four children. All of these murderers who had their death sentence commuted by Biden committed unspeakable acts of cruelty to innocent people and children. The three individuals whose death sentence Biden did not commute was not because they killed more people. It wasn't because they committed crimes worse, but because they were high-profile crimes, national news stories everyone knew about, the Boston Marathon bomber, Dylann Roof, who killed 9 at a black church in Charleston, and Robert Bowers, who killed 11 at a Pittsburgh synagogue. And a not-so-reported story, on December 12th, Biden also commuted the entire sentences for nearly 1,500 people who had been temporarily released from prison during the COVID-19 pandemic. And the list of their crimes and murders are horrendous. So what is it about the political left and their sympathy for murderers? Leviticus 24:17, if a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Last time I looked at the Noahic covenant, which was binding on all mankind, Jews and Gentiles, was that whoever sheds man's blood, by man, his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Now, President Biden's justification was, quote, guided by my conscience and my experience as a public defender, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, vice president, and now president, I'm more convinced than ever that we must stop the use of the death penalty at the federal level. In good conscience, I cannot stand back and let the new administration resume executions that I halted. And that was it. He claimed his conscience. Now, it's evident that Biden didn't have a biblically informed conscience, but a conscience may be informed by the culture or by his own guilt, or maybe a humanist belief that people aren't really evil, they're just products of their environment. The scriptures even warn magistrates in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 13, you shall not pity the murderer. You shall purge the blood of the innocent from Israel that it may go well with you. But you say, wait a minute, isn't Biden Roman Catholic? Just last week, he awarded Pope Francis the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Well, one can be religious, one can even talk with God, and have a pagan worldview. The standard is not our religious feelings, but obedience to the word. Every false teacher is religious, but lawless when it comes to the word. Now, as far as being informed by conscience and natural law, the Bible speaks of those who, because of harboring sinful ideas and attitudes, they have a seared conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, just like someone can have the nerves in their fingers deadened by burns or by the skin developing calluses, someone can burn their conscience. And hence, we have the expression that they have become callous, morally and spiritually. Callous toward protecting the innocent and favoring the life of a murderer. This is the condition of a sociopath or a psychopath and the condition of an unjust magistrate. Therefore, in 1 Timothy 1:19, we're told to keep faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. So in this we understand that even though God tells us that the law of God is written on the conscience of every man, Romans 2:14, 15, that innate law can be suppressed by one's sin and false ideology. And this law on the conscience is often called common sense or natural law, but some people have lost it. So that common sense is not so common, especially in ungodly cultures. People made in the image of God and given a conscience can lose their common sense by a life of sin or by attending a humanist university that seeks to reprogram the conscience to accept sexual perversion by claiming such perversion allows for the supposed virtues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. A whole culture can lose their common sense by being desensitized by movies, television, music, social media, public education. Hence, George Orwell would write, "There are some ideas so absurd that only an intellectual could believe them." And Alexander Solzhenitsyn would write, "To do evil, a human being must first of all believe that what he is doing is good." Ideology. That's what gives evil doing its long sought after justification and gives the evildoer the necessary steadfastness and determination. That's the social theory, which helps to make his acts seem good instead of bad in his own eyes and the eyes of others, so that he won't hear the reproaches and curses, but will receive praise and honor. Both Orwell and Solzhenitsyn saw in their lifetime how it took the false teachings in the universities to educate students into Marxism. And this explains for us why so many politicians claiming to have common sense policies and even truly believing that they're operating on common sense are actually practicing moral insanity. President Trump's commitment to restoring the death penalty is just one example of Trump's return to law and order, common sense as it's defined biblically. This is also evident in Trump's commitment to enforce immigration law, to end the war in Ukraine and Israel, to balance the budget, to stop lawless government money printing, and to do away with the corruption of useless, bloated bureaucracy. Last week, President-elect Trump held a press conference at his Mar-a-Lago home, and the one point he made that stood out to me were his references to returning to common sense. Quote, "We're a party of common sense, and the things I'm telling you now are really all about common sense." End quote. "We're at the beginning of a great, beautiful golden age of business, and I think we're also at a golden age of common sense. And also, quote, probably our most valuable asset Biden took away. This can't be allowed to happen. We are now a nation of common sense." Now, I know what everyone's thinking. The Democrats also claim that they're all about common sense. What exactly is common sense? Well, we're not moral relativists. There is a standard of common sense based upon the law of nature and nature's God, found in our conscience, found in nature, and in written revelation. Common sense is really biblical law and a biblical worldview. So in this week's program, I'd like for us to think about the biblical definition of common sense and the rule of God's law. To begin with, one thing we do learn from Scripture is that when a civil leader or social group or a nation abandons God, the first thing they lose is their common sense. This is one of God's curses upon the wicked. I've covered this often, but it needs to be reviewed. Here's some scripture on this. We could start back in Genesis chapter 3. When our first parents sinned, they began to lose their common moral sense. And they began to make ridiculous excuses to justify sin. Cain, in murdering his brother Abel, also lost his common sense. Every person is born in sin, and unless they turn back to God, they lose their common sense. As the Apostle Paul describes the condition of the unconverted in Ephesians chapter 4, they're darkened in their understanding, and they walk in the futility of their mind. Throughout the Old Testament, God continually made it clear to Israel, if they departed from God, they would lose their common sense. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon, as a blind man gropes in the darkness. And you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you." And by the time of the prophet Isaiah, 7th century BC, when Israel had gone into moral apostasy, this curse came upon Israel. The civil leaders and the people began to do insane things. Isaiah 59, "Therefore justice is far from them, and righteousness doesn't overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday, as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we're like dead men." Also, Isaiah chapter 3, God said he would make their leaders a bunch of fickle, petulant children. Isaiah 29:14, "Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed." Zechariah chapter 11, God would send upon them foolish shepherds. And in the book of Job, Job gives a long speech about the power of God over mankind. Job chapter 12, verse 13, "With him are wisdom and might. To him belongs counsel and understanding." Verse 16, "With him are strength and sound wisdom. The misled and the misleaders belong to him." Verse 20, "He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He deprives the intelligence of the chiefs of the earth's people and makes them wander in pathless waste. They grope in the darkness with no light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man." Well, the point is that since God is the source of all wisdom, if you're disconnected from God, you'll lose your wisdom. And this scripture reads as if God directly strikes people with stupidity. Like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God will send a strong delusion upon the world so that they will follow the Antichrist. But God also works indirectly. As in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 19, "Your own apostasies will reprove you." Their own sinful minds causes them to act against common sense. Like Proverbs chapter 5, "His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin." Now, Christians often wonder, when they see a lack of common sense in ungodly leaders, whether it's God actively blinding them to common sense, or whether they actually don't think correctly. Well, it's actually both. Last month, Megyn Kelly had some commentary on a journalist named Emily Gould, entitled "It's Insanity." Megyn Kelly explains that there are still a lot of very abnormal, strange people out there, And that leads me to a woman, a writer named Emily Gould. Back in February of 2024, she wrote a piece called The Lure of Divorce. She writes, 7 years into my marriage, at that time, I hit a breaking point and I had to decide whether life would be better without my husband. She writes that in the summer of 2022, she lost her mind. First, she thought she was just overwhelmed because life had become difficult, but then it became clear it was more than that, it was stress. She asked her psychiatrist to increase her dosage of antidepressants that she'd been on for years. And sometime around then, I started talking too fast and drinking a lot. I felt it necessary to drink at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She would eat at restaurants, so the drink order didn't seem so unusual. So here's a woman who is basically an alcoholic, and that always messes with the mind. Proverbs chapter 31. By alcohol, one forgets the law and perverts justice. Well, Gould goes on to write that she became convinced that her marriage was over for years. I had spent money like it was water, never budgeting, leaving my husband to make sure we had rent every month. She writes about how they had their last fight after a long day, spent at a wedding upstate, drinking spiked lemonade for lunch, and then boxed wine during the wedding reception, where I couldn't eat any of the food because it all contained weed and I have celiac disease. She writes that her therapist and her psychiatrist, so she has both recommended that she check herself into a psychiatric hospital. They put her on lithium and determined that she's bipolar, but they didn't know what kind. She went into marriage therapy with her husband, and then we discovered that she had been cheating on him, but still he would have to forgive her. And the story goes on, and the details of her life and her abuse of others becomes very lurid. But here's the big lesson. I'm not just telling you this story to glory in someone's sin. New York Magazine made this woman their advice columnist. And of course, she lectures for all sorts of leftist ideas and criticizes conservatism. And the life of Emily Gould is multiplied a million times in the life of many of our social leaders. The insanity of leftism does not happen in a vacuum. It's personal sin and depravity that results in a worldview that sees everything through the lens of victimhood, bitterness, covetousness, immorality. And remember the classic New Testament text that explains the insanity of the ungodly. Romans chapter 1. It starts with abandoning God and ends up with God giving you over to a depraved mind. Romans chapter 1. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their philosophies and their ideologies, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. But notice they profess to be wise. In Romans 1:28, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Now the world refuses to acknowledge this moral dementia. When you don't walk with God in obedience, the first thing to go is your common sense. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are put to shame. They're dismayed. They're caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? And when this happens, people don't realize that they've lost their common sense, because their insanity is actually viewed as their common sense. It makes sense to them. But as Jesus said, they're the blind leaders of the blind. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can anyone who is morally blind wake up to their moral dementia. 2 Timothy chapter 2, that they may come to their senses. Now, I could go on and give many, many examples of the insanity on the left, but we all know the big example this last week, the fires outside of LA in California. Many conservative commentators and even Donald Trump have been pointing out that this was going to happen because of leftist environmental laws that prohibit Californians from clearing brush from forest near their housing. You know, back in October when Trump was being interviewed by Joe Rogan, Trump said, "You know, California forests are as dry as a bone. Not only is it dangerous, but billions of dollars They spend every year on forest fires. And they're not allowed to rake their forests because you're not allowed to touch it. But all they have to do is rake their forests, get rid of the leaves, leaves that have been sitting there for 5 years, and get rid of the trees that have fallen. Well, how did Trump know that and all the geniuses in the California Land Management Department and the politicians there didn't know this? Trump had common sense. But specifically, leftists in California are operating on a pagan worldview that Mother Earth comes before man, that the natural environment cannot be touched because it has some sort of sacredness. And the Christian worldview is to subdue the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 9, out of the hills you can dig copper. Of course, the biblical worldview means we're to take care of the planet, but not to the religious-like prioritizing of nature over man, like we see in secular humanism. Well, because of their pagan worldview, they lose common sense, and they suffer. As in the prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 28, when the Lord strikes them with madness, they will not prosper, but only be oppressed and robbed continually. Also in the leftist naive policy concerning defund the police, no jail, no bail, and their policies of open borders. And it's not just California's environmental worldview. Much has been written this week about the head of the Los Angeles Fire Department, a DEI hire, a lesbian woman who is paid $300,000 to $400,000 a year. The second in command is also a lesbian woman, and a third in command is also a lesbian woman. Does their sex or sexual beliefs have any effect on firefighting abilities and outcomes? Well, that's hard to prove definitively. But there have been plenty of quotes and videos of these women explaining that their priority is not fighting fires, but diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's not about competency on the job, but affirmative action. And you know, a secular worldview in regard to morals will also result in a secular worldview concerning the environment. And you know, the insanity is not just in the fire prevention. California did price controls on insurance companies, so that 2.5 million customers had to be dropped because insurance companies couldn't afford to do business in California. So the state then created a state-run socialist homeowners insurance program, but that fund is bankrupt. Insurance companies are not going to be able to pay for the cost of rebuilding. And plenty of people on the ground say these homeowners will never be able to rebuild because it's almost impossible to get building permits in California. The California Coastal Commission works to prohibit all construction. There's even talk of not letting people rebuild their homes, but turning the land into high-density 15-minute cities. Ideologically, the left wants everyone to have a small footprint and live in row homes at best. Well, a lot more can be said about the loss of common sense in our world. You know, many of the articles in the media this week were critical of conservatives, seeing leftism as a source of the devastation. They made the story about conservative criticism rather than the devastation itself. But the good news is that many people in America are not buying the excuses. They're seeing the connection between national disasters and crime and the insane policies on the left. Let's just hope that in all this, we can help people come to learn that truth and common sense doesn't come from man, but it comes from God. And if we can trust God to direct our life down here, how much more do we need to turn to Him and obey His plan for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at my channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition, on YouTube and Rumble. Be in the Word, and may Jesus Christ reign.